Welcome to the Westmeath Libraries podcast. Today we are celebrating local history and having a chat with Athlone's favourite historian, Garrod O'Brien. Morning, Garrod. How are you today?
Morning, Lorna. I'm grand, thanks.
Good. Yeah. Did you have an interest in history from your early years? Did you study it in school?
Well, I suppose I did history up to intercert, which is the equivalent of today's junior cert.
Okay.
But it was extremely boring. We were dealing mainly with European history and the French Revolution and people like Napoleon and Bismarck and various things afterwards. And I just found it boring, and we were learning dates off, but really not learning a lot more. And then I didn't get an opportunity to study history for Leaving Cert.
Ah.
I had to pick geography instead of history.
Okay, that's interesting.
So I really came to history more from outside influences rather than from school.
Okay, and did you study it third level?
No. Well, I studied Greek and Roman civilization, which I suppose is a form of history, in third level. But I felt disadvantaged that I hadn't studied history through school. So, I came to it in other ways.
And would your family have had an interest in history over the years?
Yes. My father was a great researcher and spent a lot of his time researching local newspapers. And when I look now at how simple it is to come in here and put on a microfilm and look at it, he had to go off to London to the British newspaper library in Colindale and spend a week of his holidays every year researching these and writing a lot of stuff out longhand in copybooks. So it was a very laborious thing. Mm. And he did more research than writing.
Okay.
He wrote articles for the Old Athlone Society Journal and for a few other things, but he really did a huge amount of research and never utilised it for publication.
And do you still have most of that research?
I have a good bit of it, but it's been superseded now by modern technology and that. But I do use some of it from time to time.
Okay.
And I mean, there's no doubt he was a great researcher. And I suppose I got an interest from that. And then when I started working in the library, there was just myself and one other librarian at the time, Ernan Morris, who was in charge and who had been there for years and years. And when local history queries came in, after a year or two, he started sending them my way rather than his way. And so there'd be genealogical queries and other local history queries.
Yeah.
And I started working on those, and I found that I really enjoyed doing that kind of
work. So you sort of learned on the job.
I learned on the job. Okay. The other big influence for me was the late Billy English.
Okay.
Because when I was a child, I suppose this is maybe very relevant, when I was a child, when I was only 10 years of age, they were starting the museum in the castle.
Okay.
And he actually got me to write out the little notices for all the items.
Oh, wow.
So I was learning about all kinds of artifacts and things. And then he was a great man for setting everybody, not just children, but people involved in the Old Athlone Society, committee members and that. He would look for a project that would suit their kind of mentality, and then he'd say, well, would you do that? And as a child, at one stage I was asked to go around town and record every inscription that was on plaques or on things and do that kind of thing. And then another time I was asked to compile a whole collection of poetry that it mentioned Athlone or Clonmacnoise.
Ah,
and I typed them out. And you know, there were a few projects like that, so he got me very
they
much
stayed
interested.
With you, so he obviously had a big influence.
Yeah, that was a big influence.
Okay, and that's very important too, isn't it?
It is.
And I obviously know you from your work in the library. Mm. So when did you start in the library service?
I started in the library service in January 1974.
Oh, wow.
And I started as a temporary library assistant. I was doing a course in journalism in the College of Commerce in Rathmines, and I had to drop off out because I got sick and I had to have surgery. And when I was getting better, they told me, you've missed too much, especially shorthand and typing, and we'll keep a place open for you for next year.
Okay.
So from about December on, I was just mindlessly walking around Athlone and spending some time in the library.
Yeah.
And the late Ernan Morris said to me, what are you doing with yourself? Are you not studying? And I said, well, I'm hoping to go back to study in September, but I'm taking time off at the moment because I had been sick.
Mm.
And he said, well, would you be interested in working in the library? And I said, yes. And at that time, it was so simple.
A very different way of getting a job in the library than
it
these
was.
Days.
Yeah. So he just said, well, can you start on Monday? He said, I'll ring Mullingar and tell them I have somebody.
Yeah.
And I said, I can. And then the position came was vacant, so I applied for it, and in May that year I was appointed.
Ah, fantastic. As library assistant. So you started in Mullingar?
Oh, no, in Athlone.
Oh, sorry, in Athlone. Oh, very good. And you always worked your whole career here?
No, I worked for a few years in Mullingar. I worked in headquarters in Mullingar for maybe 3 years.
Oh, very good.
I think, yeah. Mm.
But everybody, I think, in the town knows you as the librarian here. You're still looked for every day.
But, you know, it's... Well, I suppose it was a very interesting job, and people seemed to think that I had the answer to everything. I knew myself.
You do. We still ring you for all sorts.
But I, you know, I suppose one of the good trainings for librarians is to have lateral thinking.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I got from my training with Ernan Morris. Mm. And therefore, even if I didn't know where to. If I didn't know the answer to something, I knew where to find it.
Yes, yes.
And that's the key to research in all kinds of ways.
Yeah, I think it's also nice to have a local person working in a local library.
I think it is, because I think that you can't beat local knowledge.
No, and stuff you can't learn in books.
No, and I often, I used to find when I was in Mullingar and queries came up, I'd have to be turning around to some of the girls in the general office.
Yeah.
At that time, there were a lot of girls in the general office. And I would be saying, where is Bracklands?
Yes, yes.
And, okay, you go out to which the Delvin Road, is it?
Yeah.
And then, and really, you know, I was starting from a point of no knowledge.
I suppose I found the same when I started here, because I knew the local history of Moat, and I knew all the places that people would
And local knowledge is hugely important, because, again, you can identify people who might be able to answer that
question.
That's
the thing. If you can't answer it, you know who to go to. It's usually you for us.
But
And how important do you think, say, the local studies rooms are in Athlone and Mullingar for people doing local research?
Yeah, well, okay, I think that things have changed an awful lot in recent years. But I think that the local studies rooms are an invaluable resource for people. I think there's nothing like being able to come in and look at the newspapers yourself and go through them. You know, if you look up something on the Irish newspaper archive, you end up maybe finding exactly what you're looking for, but you don't see that on the same page there was also something else that is maybe ties in with a little bit, or that, you know, broadens
gives you a bit of social background or something. Yeah.
So I mean, I think there's nothing to beat having a look thing for yourself, and even using all kinds of resources, things like Lewis's Topographical Dictionary or the Gazetteer of Ireland, or in the case of Athlone, the Burgess Papers, that until you familiarise yourself with those, and it takes time to do those things, but when you do, you can certainly make much better use of them than just coming in and trying to find out that there was a man called Thomas Riley who lived in 1784. But you can go back and look at deeds, and you can look at various things, and you can build up a much better picture of him if you're capable of doing your own research.
Yeah.
And I think these local studies rooms are invaluable. They're also invaluable, which I think people don't appreciate, from the tourism point of view.
Yeah.
Because when somebody comes to a town and they're looking for information, and it might be for genealogy, or it might be for just to get a local background because their parent people were from this area, they want to look at things and handle them. And
find
them. And when they do, they're excited.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what brings people back.
Yeah.
And
you can't beat looking at something.
You can't. And I mean, I know myself that from my work here that over the years, I mean, I had one Australian lady who came in to me once, and it could have been a one-off visit, but it wasn't. And she came back 3 or 4 times in 10 years.
Wow.
And on one occasion, she brought 3 of her brothers with her. And I just imagine the amount of money that those people spent in that loan.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the kind of tourism. It's hidden tourism, but it's very important.
It's very important,
it is. And every person that comes in here, whether they're from New York or Boston or wherever they're from, and a lot of English people indeed, and whoever comes in here, if they get proper service, and if they get help to look at what they find what they're looking for, I mean, they go back with a hugely different view of Ireland than they had
before
they came.
Yeah, and you're still as busy as ever helping people with the research, aren't you, Gerard?
Yeah, I can't get away from it. I am. I do a lot of genealogy still, and I do, I mean, I'm writing an article for the paper for the last 33 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
I mean, when I started that, I thought if I get 2 years out of it, I'd be doing very well. Now, I do repeat things sometimes, but in a different way. If I decide I have to repeat something, I'll always try and put new material
into it.
Find
something new, yeah.
And it's easier to find new things now because of resources. Even people coming in here and looking at the Irish News Archive, you will find things that you didn't find in a book.
Yeah.
So you can add bits and pieces all the time.
Yeah, very good, very good. And over the years, you've obviously written plenty for journals and your own books.
I have. I suppose the first thing that I wrote that was between covers, if you like, was the Athlone Tourist Trail. And that was something that just through the Audit Loan Society, I was asked to edit that. And there were a group of us that got together and put it together. But since that, I think I have written about 15 or 16 little books.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Books and booklets.
Yeah.
And I find that I'm never without a project. I mean, in the last few months, I've been researching two Victoria Cross recipients from Westmeath who very little was known about. Wow. And we've certainly expanded the knowledge on both of those people. And I've just started a series in the paper looking at the view from the Bridge of Athlone and going in a 360-degree circle around what was there and what is there. And I suppose I'm more than a quarter of way through it, and I'm hoping that this will make another book when it's finished.
Okay, yes. Yeah. And is the other project on the Victoria Cross recipients going to be a book as well?
I'm not sure. It'll certainly be articles and lectures. I have to give a lecture in January to the Audit Loan Society on Thomas Flynn. But we're also working away, and this material is being taken up by military history groups in England, and it's changing the story of these two gentlemen.
Great, great. And while you were working as a librarian here, you were a big part of the handover of the Aidan Heavey collection. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I suppose the Aidan Heavey collection was one of the most exciting things that happened to me during my career in terms of libraries, because Aidan Heavey was a local, well, he was locally born. He was a businessman in Dublin. He was extremely wealthy at the time. He had a very fine book collection. He was a brother-in-law of Eamon Norton, who was a very good friend of mine. And his library went to the University of Limerick.
Okay.
And unfortunately, Eamon Norton had always said to me that in Athlone we would get his Athlone collection.
Okay.
But he never put anything in writing.
Ah.
When he died, the whole lot was sold to the University of Limerick, sponsored by some American beneficiary who put up a lot of money.
Oh.
And it went to Limerick. Eamon used to always say to me that Aidan Heavey had one of the best goldsmith collections in the world.
Okay.
So I got to know Aidan, not very well, but I got to know him over the years. And then out of the blue, we got a phone call to say that Aidan wanted to invite us, myself and I think the county librarian and the county manager, for a meal in his house in Dublin,
okay.
in his apartment in Dublin. He had two apartments, one for himself and his wife and one for the books, although the books were in their apartment as well.
Right.
And he invited us up and he showed us the collection, and he came to the goldsmith collection and he said, "Do you want to talk a little bit about this?" I had a lot less knowledge about the goldsmith collection then than I do now, but I waxed lyrical about it, and I was saying, "I hope this is good enough to get the goldsmith collection." And when we had finished our dinner, he turned around and he said, "And what about the books?" And I thought, what about the books? They're very impressive. It's a great collection. Very impressed with it. And they're in beautiful condition. But he said, "Do you want them or do you not?"
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I said, "You're talking about the goldsmith collection." And he said, "No, I'm talking about the whole lot.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're taking one, you're taking them all."
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was an incredible moment.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And then when we got the books to Athlone, because the books were in, as I say, two apartments in Dublin, side by side, and they were also in his warehouse where his business was, hidden in behind hanks of cloth and all kinds of places.
Okay.
And we had to get Fonzie Mealy, who's a book auctioneer and seller, he arranged to transport the whole lot to Athlone.
Fantastic.
And when we put them up on shelves, even though they were double shelved where we were in temporary accommodation, he came down, and it was the first time he had seen all his books together in one place.
Yeah.
And he himself was amazed that there was so much. So it was a very exciting time.
Yeah.
And it's an exciting thing for Athlone to have.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic.
You know,
yeah.
It's something, it's a well-kept secret, I think, in that.
Yeah.
But again, it's something you don't want to be overused either.
No.
Because the quality of the books and the importance of the books, in recent times they've been very well displayed in the library, and I think that's marvellous because people are getting to see some of the gems of that collection. But I think it's a resource that will be appreciated over the years as something really, really special. There's no other provincial library that has anything to compare with it.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it's one of the highlights, I think, from when I started here as well.
Yeah.
Even just going into the room.
Oh, yeah. It's a very special place.
It absolutely is. I think that's about it, Gerald. Thank you so much for giving your time this morning.
Not at all.
We look forward to reading more in print from you over the years.
Thanks very much, Lorna.
Thank you.
Thank you.